Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the opioid crisis has impacted families and communities in many ways. We'll find out how it may be affecting the homicide rate in Milwaukee. First, record low temperatures have gripped most of the country and has already been blamed for multiple deaths. The National Weather Service issued warnings for areas between South Texas and Canada and from Montana to New England. Here in Wisconsin, authorities say three people in the Madison area, two in Milwaukee, and one near Lake Winnebago have died because of the cold weather. Jonathan Martin is a professor of the Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences Department at UW-Madison. He's also a regular on the Larry Mueller Show, and he's here to tell us what is behind this bitter cold snap. Jonathan, welcome back to Central Time, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Judith. Nice to be here.
So, Jonathan, in a nutshell, why are we seeing such cold temperatures for such extended time?
Well, what really underlies it is any cold snap is, of course, it gets colder the further north one goes in the northern hemisphere in the wintertime because the sun is now down at the North Pole and latitudes immediately surrounding the North Pole for 6 months. So the ground just continues, the air above the ground continues to cool radiatively over, you know, several weeks, several months period of time, and it gets progressively colder. What has to happen is for the weather patterns of the flow patterns in the middle and upper troposphere to orient themselves in such a way that we have strong flow from the north straight down into the central part of North America. When that's the case, at this time of year, it's impossible to escape a prolonged cold snap because the air that's coming towards us is very, very cold. It's coming out of the factory of cold air production at the high latitudes in the poles.
So, of course, here in the Midwest, we do see cold temperatures in the winter. That's just part of life. But how unusual are these temperatures that we've been seeing the last week or so?
Well, these are pretty unusual. One can look at a bunch of different ways in which record temperatures are set. They can either be set for the calendar day, they can be set for the month in which they occur, or they can be all-time highs or lows. And so those are over a period of years. So we've had quite a number of across the country. We've had about 965 daily low temperature records, so low minimum temperatures, set over the last 7 or 8 days. And we've had about 435 overnight minimum temperatures, low minimum temperatures set 4 calendar days over that period of time as well. So there's quite a number of unusually cold December 24th through December 28th across the country, centered in the central part of the United States, especially the northern plain states. There's only been 2 all-time minimum temperature records set in that entire period, although one of them was in Wisconsin. The town of Winter, Wisconsin, broke its all-time minimum of minus 22. That's as cold as it's ever been in that town, and that broke the minimum that was set on January 17, 1982, the prior one, by 1 degree. So we haven't had a lot of all-time minimum temperature records, but we've had a lot of daily minimum temperature records, and that's still significant.
And how far off are we from what would be normal or expected weather for this time of year, say, in the upper Midwest?
Yeah, we're way off from that. So we're running about 20 or so degrees below normal each day.
Wow.
The average temperature for a day at this time of year is around 20 Fahrenheit, adding the daytime high and the daytime minimum together and dividing by 2. And we're not even barely getting to about 0 when we do that the last couple of days, especially yesterday. I think we probably had an average that was a little bit below 0 when you add the maximum and the minimum. So we're running way below. And that's been the case since about the day before Christmas, with a little bit of variation around a minus 15 to a minus 20 degree departure per day. So we've really, it's been an extended cold snap for sure.
And is that similar in usually warmer parts of the country that are also getting part of this cold wave? Are they that much below their normal temperatures as well?
That is a good question. Off the top of my head, I'm not certain of that. But I wouldn't be surprised because at other levels, just above the surface level of the earth, over parts of central and eastern United States, the temperatures are well below normal at that level, which makes me think that they're well below normal, even at the surface themselves. I don't know if it's as much as 20, but it could be.
We're talking with Jonathan Martin. He's a professor in the Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences Department at UW-Madison, talking about this really incredible cold snap that we are in. Now, Jonathan, we hear a lot about wind chill. So we hear the real temperatures and then the wind chill.
Yeah.
First of all, how is wind chill calculated?
It's calculated based on a laboratory-derived formula that involves reference both to the air temperature itself, the still air temperature itself, as well as the wind speed. And it's what do they call them? They call them empirical formulas. So it's based upon trying to estimate how cold it feels, how cold moving air feels were that air still. So when you get a reported wind chill temperature of minus 30, what that means is the current combination of temperature and wind makes exposed skin feel as if the air surrounding it were still but at minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit. So it gives you an idea of how fast you might lose that skin to frostbite.
And so is it just how it feels, or does it actually, does a strong wind on a cold day actually make it more dangerous to be out in it?
Yes, it really does. I mean, it's actually an equivalence for what you would feel if the air were still. So it's a real threat. When somebody tells you the wind chill is minus 35, that means that you're putting your skin, exposed skin, into an environment that would be the same as the temperature being minus 35, and you will lose heat at an extraordinarily fast rate. And in fact, at that level, I think Madison School Department correctly makes the judgment that if that's the case, you shouldn't even be outside waiting for the bus, because you're going to lose some part of your skin to frostbite if you're not excessively careful, and little kids can't be as excessively careful.
So some people, including President Trump, have cast doubt on climate change, given the unusually cold temperatures that we've been seeing. How do you respond to that correlation being made?
Well, there's two things that can be said right off the top of my head on that. One of them is all one has to do is investigate the data and realize that though it is cold in the central United States right now and in the eastern United States, there's no doubt about that. And that's a feature worth reckoning. But around the hemisphere, we have just finished our 17th warmest December out of the last 70 Decembers. So we're nowhere near anything that's unusually cold hemispherically. Mm. And in fact, that 17th out of the last 70, I think there are about 11 of the 17 top warmest Decembers occurred since the year 2000. So we're definitely in an environment, our global environment, that is warming. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to get cold days or periods of cold days, cold snaps like the one we've had. But it just means they're going to become less frequent and less severe. And that even that's true. We only had two all-time minimum temperature records broken with this cold snap. And that's probably, had you put it 50 years ago, we would have probably had more like 10 to 15 all-time minimums shattered by this cold. So you're seeing the effect of warming around the hemisphere. You don't necessarily see it every day in your backyard.
So basically, it sounds like you're saying, John, that localized or shorter-term weather patterns aren't necessarily the data to look at when you're looking at these large changes like climate change.
No, one has to imagine the long integral of those. You know, look at 50 winters, look at 50 December 28ths, and see what the average is turning into over that period of time, as opposed to what just this one is. That's exactly right. The danger of parochialism trumping what we view as a large-scale climate signal is increased, unfortunately, in the current administration. They seem to believe that this kind of a cold snap is evidence that there's no global warming. It's not. It has nothing to do with that. They're separate issues.
John, do you have a sense of what the rest of the winter might look like? Do we have more, either continuing this cold snap or other cold snaps coming in the future, or might we get back to more normal temperatures?
Well, I suppose that it's hard to imagine that we stay in such an unusual weather pattern that gives us unusual cold for an extended period of time. These kind of things have lifespans. We don't really understand how the atmosphere will evolve throughout the rest of the winter. We can't predict it the way we can predict the weather in the next two or three days. It's a very different problem. But there are indications that with a cooler than normal Pacific sea surface temperature near the equator, that we don't have any particular forcing to give us an unusually warm rest of the winter. I could say that. The chances of that being the case are fairly small, at least from what we understand about how the global circulation sometimes conspires to give us an unusually warm winter. No such forcings are in action right now. So I guess even if we end up being normal for the rest of the winter, this snap right here will remind people of the winter 2017-18 being rather bitter. It'll have to turn and become exceptionally warm before people forget about this. I don't anticipate that happening.
Is there any relationship between how cold or not a winter is and how much snow precipitation we get?
Yeah, there is. That's a really good question. I think at the beginning of this cold snap, the day or two before Christmas, we had a couple of cold nights. Had we had measurable snow on the ground, an inch, maybe 2 inches of snow or more, I think those first few nights would have been even colder, so that the length and severity of the particular snap we're in right now would have probably felt worse than it actually has. So now that we ended up with that kind of creeping 2 inches of snow around New Year's Day that fell and kind of still persists, that's helping to really cool us off overnight, and then give us a difficult time starting to warm up during the next sunny day like today. It's hot. The temperature's struggling to rise. Had we had snow on the 22nd, 23rd of December, we would have had an even longer period of misery, I think, out of this. So it makes a big difference.
Well, John, thanks so much for joining us and bringing us up to speed on this unusual and bitter cold snap.
Yeah, you bet, Judith. Thank you for having me.
Jonathan Martin is a professor in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. He's also a regular on the Larry Mueller Show as half of the Weather Guys on the last Monday of each month. He joined us today to look at the record-breaking freezing temperatures around the country.